Romans chapter 5. We took the first two verses last week. And we're going to be looking at verses 3 through 6 today. But I'm going to begin at verse 1 in Romans chapter 5. Trouble is coming to everyone, to one degree or another, in one way or another, in one form or another. It is coming. It'll probably come more than once. And Paul is telling us something here that will equip us for those times. The times when trouble, when suffering, when tribulation comes, he is preparing us for it. So what is said here, the words, the scriptures that are used here, I want you to make them part of your toolbox for when trouble comes to you. You know, I know I have notes in the bulletin, but take notes. Make this your own. Prepare yourself for the troubles that may be coming, and even, or so that you can rejoice in them. There's a marked contrast between the first two verses and the third, and I think you'll catch it. But let me start with verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Thus far, the reading of God's holy, inspired, and sometimes difficult word. Let me start with this. How can you know that you are Christians? How can you know that you are actually living the Christian life? How can you build a well-grounded assurance of faith? How can you walk with God in the land of the living and know that you are doing so? First, you must start at the beginning. You must start at the foundation, which is the gospel. What God in Christ has done for you. So we've been talking about you are justified by faith plus nothing. It's all the work of God. It is all accomplished on his side. That is the foundation. We are saved by faith alone, in Christ alone, through grace alone. That is the foundation of any legitimate, well-grounded assurance of faith. What God has done for me in the gospel. We have access to this grace now because of what God has done. We have access through faith. We haven't earned it. We don't deserve it. Jesus has earned it, and Jesus has deserved it, and he has given it to us. It is ours. Therefore, he says at the end of the last text, we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God to come. That's easy. We can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We trust in and we rest in the gospel, the life and the death of Jesus for us. But then secondly, how do you build on this foundation? How do you build this well-grounded assurance of faith? You look to how you are building. You look to Christian living. How has things changed? How different are you because you know the love of God in Christ? Because the gospel has come to you, because you have received and believed it. How are you changed? How are you different? How do you handle, in fact, for our text purposes, how do you handle the difficult times? How do you handle the times when troubles come? Do you run from God? Or do you run towards him? Do you find help from him? Do you find sufficient grace in him? Paul tells us that we can rejoice in suffering. And I want you to catch this. We can rejoice in suffering because of what we know. Because of what we know, and because of what we have received. So, if you trust in Christ alone and walk with him, you can have a well-grounded assurance of faith. If we have a well-grounded assurance of faith, we understand how we can rejoice in the hope of the glory to come. I'm on the way to heaven. That's what it means to have a well-grounded assurance of faith. And I'm going to enjoy glory one day. I can understand that. But how do you understand this next thing? We can rejoice in our sufferings. Paul took a great leap there, didn't he? Because we are justified by faith, we can even rejoice in our troubles. Wow. What does that mean? He says it's because of what we know. Because we know what these trials, these difficulties are producing. And here he gives one of the scriptural answers. There are other ones. But here's one. It is building character in you. It is building perseverance. It is building, ultimately, character and hope. Hope that we'll never be disappointed. But there are other purposes in our trials. But what might this purpose be? This purpose that we know is there. Let me give you just some options. There could be others. It may be that God is building character in us. That's what this text says. Our trials and our troubles come in part to build character in us. Hebrews chapter 12. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Sometimes trials and difficulties come because God is correcting us. Hebrews again, chapter 12. And have you forgotten the exhortation which addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It may be that God is building others up through you. Maybe you are suffering for the glory of God in that way, that others may benefit watching how you suffer, watching how you face death, the greatest of our sufferings, to see your walk and your witness and testimony can be a blessing to other people. It may be that God is building up others through your trial. Think of Job. Fourthly, it may be that God is bringing glory to himself in ways that we will never understand. Think of the man born blind. Why was he born blind? Was it his sin or his parents? Neither. It was so that the glory of God would be revealed in him. So there are all kinds of reasons for our trials, and we don't always necessarily know the reason, but we're going to focus on the one that our text gives in today, which is it builds character in us. We rejoice, or we can rejoice. Doesn't mean we always do. We can. We are enabled to rejoice because of what we know. This is why you need these things in your toolbox beforehand, before the trouble comes. You need to know these things before the trial comes knocking on your door. You need to know these things. Because if we meet, if tribulation, if trouble, if suffering comes knocking at your door and you are unprepared, if you meet this trial, this trouble, this suffering with doubt, doubting God's goodness, doubting God's promises, if you meet it with bitterness and despair, and even if you meet it merely with stoic resignation, you will have failed the spiritual test. You will produce spiritual defeat, and we don't rejoice in that. We can rejoice in suffering because of what we know. Well, what do we know? Lloyd-Jones, when he wrote a book on spiritual depression, and in the book he said, when depression comes to you, when that suffering, that trial, that trouble comes, you need to talk to yourself and not listen to yourself. And that phrase has always stuck with me. What does it mean? Don't listen to yourself. Don't listen to the trials and to the difficulty. Don't wallow in it and think of it over and over again. You need to talk to yourself about what you know, about what you know is true. Because you have just entered into the darkness of difficulty and trial, but you need to remember who God is and what he has said. So what do we know? What are some of the things that we can say to ourselves in our time of trouble? I just picked three things from the book of Romans that we can speak to ourselves in a time of trouble. We can say, all things work together for good to those who love God. We know that to be true. And we can lay hold upon that in our time of trial. What's another one? Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Need to lay hold upon that before the trial comes. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Or again, if God is for us, who can be against us? In short, what he's saying in all these things and others is there is purpose, there is even wisdom in this trial. Even if I can't see it. But I know these things are true about God. And I know these things are true about his relationship with me. So I can trust him even now. When the trouble comes. God is training us up to bear His image well, to bear suffering well. He says that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance teaches character, and character teaches hope. I mean, we can summarize the whole thing, that these sufferings come to us so that we would grow up and mature as Christians, so that faith might shine forth through us, even in difficult times, so that the love of God in Christ in us would be known. See, growing sanctification is the goal. Let me give you a really hard truth. God is out to make you holy, not necessarily happy. God's goal isn't to make you happy all the time. It's to make you holy. It's to give you joy, which is even better than happiness. But He is out to make us holy. And sometimes He does things that don't make us happy in order to make us holy. God is building character in us. He is working through us. There's meaning and purpose and direction in our trials. We know it, even if we don't feel it. Suffering, what does it mean? Suffering means pressed out. It means pressure. It's used of the threshing of wheat or the extracting of the oil from the olive. The extraction of olive oil. And sometimes in Scripture, this suffering is specifically for naming the name of Christ. It is Christian persecution. Like we have in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. That's one kind of suffering. Some people say that's what he's referring to here. I think he's referring to suffering in general here. Because everything that you suffer, every difficulty, every trial that comes your way, comes to you as a Christian. And you are to face it, whatever it is, as a Christian. You are to lay hold of faith when you address this trial or difficulty, whatever it is. So I think it's more broad. It means everything that we suffer in a fallen world. God is using the sufferings of this present world to prepare us for glory. Let me just read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So we do not lose heart. Lose heart when? In difficulty, in trial. We do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So when trial or difficulty comes to us, are we focusing on the darkness, on the difficulty, on the trial, on the heartbreak and on the disappointment? Or are we concentrating on the light, what God is doing through it, what God is doing in us? God is training us up to better bear His image. Today we can face alienation and frustration. We face the fact that in a secular world, might beats right many times. Relationships can be soured by selfishness and the overall destruction of sin we face regularly. We can have children who reject God. We can have a doctor who gives you bad news, an employer who has to cut back. Bills must be paid. We can have that difficult person in your life that suddenly needs your attention again. Trials, difficulty. The roof might leak. The car needs work. I could go on and on. Troubles will come in this life. And we have all known people who, when trouble comes, they cave. Right? They become bitter. They become angry. They become spiteful. They look about themselves looking for someone to thrash for their troubles. They didn't handle it very well. But as Christians, it's not all pie in the sky by and by. It's Christians face trouble in this life. And we should expect it. God's grace is here, and God's good providence is still working with us, but we are to expect difficulty. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, Paul said, will be persecuted. Troubles will come. Jesus, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. I have said these things that you now know, I have said these things, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Jesus said that. But take heart, I have overcome the world. That's hope in the midst of it. And when they, this is from Acts, and when they had preached the gospel in that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. So you can take all these hints and say, we as Christians, we're to expect opposition. We're to expect difficulty. We're to expect at times trouble and suffering. We're to prepare for it. It's coming. God has said it was. It isn't a surprise to him. I'm not sure if this illustration works, but I'll try it. We are to look upon our troubles like a gold miner is looking for gold. You know, he's digging through these rocks. And I've seen some of these rocks that have gold in them. To me, they look like rocks. They're just rocks, right? But there might be gold in them. And the gold miner knows which kind of rocks and where to find it. And so he's searching for the gold in the midst of all these rocks. But he knows that there's gold in there. And he's going to find it. He's going to keep digging. So there's something about these promises of God. There is good that God is working through this darkness, through this trouble, through this grief. And it's there. You can trust it. And you can trust it even if you don't find it. It's still there because God is faithful, because God is who he said he is, because we can take his promises to the bank. But sometimes we, because of the way we handle things, we can make small troubles really, really big. But through faith, we can make really, really big troubles smaller. There's still trouble, there's still difficulty, but we can make them smaller because we see it in perspective. Not our own perspective, but God's perspective. We can see what God is doing through this trial. You can see it when you walk with God through pain and through suffering. I know it's springtime now and leaves are coming out for the first time, but picture the opposite end in the fall. The tree, the last leaf clinging to that tree. I'm always proud of that last leaf, still holding on. Winter's coming, but he's not giving up. That's the way we are to be when we're facing trial, when we're facing winter. I'm going to cling to the vine. I'm going to trust him. The God that we know in the light, we can trust in the dark. The God that you know in the light, you can trust in the dark. The problem is, what if you don't know him even though it's light? You have no faith. You have no trust. You're not equipping yourself to face the troubles to come. So when the darkness comes, it's just darkness. But the God that you know in the light, you can trust in the dark. I had a Christian friend once who always said, yeah, this life is just a preparation for glory. This life is a prerequisite for the life to come. God is working in us and preparing us for the life to come. This life is not all there is. In fact, this life is just the beginning, preparing us for something far greater. But he says suffering builds endurance. We have other places who have said, like Peter and James have said, that when suffering, difficulty, trials, tribulations come, God is building character. Let me just read a couple other passages. 1 Peter. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Well, why has this trial come? So that the genuine testedness of your faith, or the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, that your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then James said something very similar to what Paul is saying here in Romans chapter 5. He says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. That's another tall order, isn't it? Hey, guess what? I got trials today. Count it all joy, he says. For what? For you know. There's that word again. What you know. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Perseverance, patience, stick-to-itiveness. We're in this for the long haul. We're not in glory yet. We're not home yet. We're not to expect peace yet, at least full peace. Let me give you some free not medical advice, some free financial advice that's worth every penny. We live with the stock market, up or down, mutual funds, whatever it is, and we're in it for the long haul. We don't panic in the bull market because we're in it for the long haul. The bear will eventually come out of hibernation. That's a little free financial advice, worth every penny. Troubles are to build your character. They show what you really are. They measure the strength of your endurance, your stick-to-itiveness. I am going to stand up under this trial because God is with me, because God has given me promises. I'm going to stand up under this trial because of what I know to be true about Him, His Word, His promises to me, His relationship to me. I know these things. And I know He's going to see me through to the other side. So trials grow our spiritual strength. Now, I often tell myself I only spent 3 years in the real world. And by real world, I mean the real business world. I used to sell cash registers. And let me know after the service if you want one. But that was a long time ago. But in the business world, I often thought this to be true. Your remuneration, the way that they paid you, was somehow directly proportional to the stress that you could bear. That's generally true, isn't it? I mean, the people who have the greatest stress, they make the greatest money because they can bear the greatest stress. Maybe that's not entirely true. But I think the measure of our Christian strength may be the stress that we can endure, the trials that we can see face to face and meet in faith with God. You know, when you go through a trouble, when you go through a trial, you tend to lean on other people, which is good. There's some people that you can lean on, some people that you can go to in your times of trouble. Why do you go to them? Why do you go to them? Because they've done this before. They've faced the beast. They've walked through the darkness. They've seen the light. And they can offer hope. They can take a little, perhaps, of the burden away from you. That's the people you lean on. That's the people we are to become through these trials. God is growing endurance in us and producing character in us. And it's somewhat like teaching a young child how to catch a ball. Right? When you're teaching your little toddler how to catch a ball, you don't throw them a fastball at 90 miles an hour. That's not where you start. You throw them a little fuzzball, right? And then maybe a balloon and you practice with it. And then as he grows a little older, you might try a tennis ball and maybe a softball. And then you get to the hard ball. I think God sort of grows our strength somewhat like that. He gives us trials, and we pass the trial. We go to the next one. To the next one, we grow in spiritual maturity. We grow in our ability to handle stress. We grow in our ability to meet in faith anything that comes our way. That's what God is doing in us. He's producing patient endurance. And that produces character. Troubles, it may be said, are like a spiritual mirror that we can look into and see ourselves as we really are. That's in one sense why the troubles come, so that we can see ourselves as we really are, so that we can accurately measure our strength or our weakness, but so we can actually accurately see ourselves. Earlier, God promised, or Paul promised, that we have access to this grace in which we stand. We have access to strength beyond ourselves. And we know that we are not alone. Trials come to grow us, to grow our faith, to grow our strength, and to prove that growing faith and strength to us. To us. I remember it was in fifth grade, and our gym teacher said that we're going to do the presidential fitness test in like a month. And here's the list of all the things that you need to be able to do to get the little patch. I earned the patch, but I don't know where it is. Fifth grade physical fitness test. And one of the things that you had to do in fifth grade is what I think they call a back shoulder handspring. So you would lay down on the ground and put your hands under your shoulders and roll all your weight on it, push off with your hands, kick off with your feet, and somehow land on your feet. And I could check off a list all the other things on a presidential fitness test, but I couldn't do that one. And I tried and I tried to do that back shoulder hang spring over and over and over again. And I couldn't do it, couldn't do it, couldn't do it. Then test day came. The guy with the checklist, right? He came over to, okay, go ahead, do it. Oh, great. I've never in my life been able to do it. And so I rolled over on my shoulders and pushed off with my hands and kicked with my legs and I landed on my feet. I could not believe it. I'd never done it in the history of the world. And I was so thrilled. It's like I won the World Series 10 times in a row. It was just amazing I had done this. And I looked at the guy who was supervising me and he goes, check. That's all it was. It didn't mean anything to him. But it meant everything to me. I did it. I proved that I could do it. I may be able to do it again. Should I try? No. I don't think I can do it anymore. But sometimes God gives us trials to prove our faith to us, so that we can know peace and comfort in the midst of anything. My son, my daughter, with me, you can handle this. I'm here, I'm present. And you've got strength beyond yourself. Trials come sometimes to prove our faith to us. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And I know now that Christ is in me. Because I went through something that I couldn't possibly handle on my own. He was there. He was there. Christ is in me. And that's my hope of glory. Studying for tests at school is very similar to studying for tests in the school of Christ. You pass them by what you know to be true, where you stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is my Savior and my friend, even in suffering, especially then. I know Him, and I can trust Him. So cry out to God for help and for grace and for strength. Trust Him to get you through it and to grow stronger for it. The psalmist was able to say, it is good for me that I was afflicted. It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. So walking with God in tough times, with a faithful God, also gives you hope. Character produces hope. Hope that does not fail. Hope that does not put us to shame. Hope that does not disappoint. Meaning sure, certain, well-grounded hope. Even in times of darkness, there is true hope for the Christian. Why? Look at what the text says. And look at it carefully. Because the love of God is poured into you. Because the love of God is poured onto His children. In times of darkness and trouble. Through the Holy Spirit, the love of God is poured. Now, I know we're Baptists. We're not Baptists. Are we? We Baptists? Again, I can't remember. Are we Baptists? We're Presbyterians. And so we sprinkle a lot, right? But the love of God isn't sprinkled on us. We're inundated with it. It just is poured over us. That's what the text says. It is poured out to you in times of trial. The love of God is poured out to you by the Holy Spirit. And then it gets even better. Not only do we have this love of God or this Holy Spirit like a FedEx driver, right? The UPS driver. You know, he comes and he rings the door, he throws a package on the ground, and he leaves. That's the Holy Spirit? No! The Holy Spirit is far more like a husband who stays and lives with you. The Holy Spirit is with us to help us to bear all things. So not only do we have the love of God poured out in flood proportions upon us, but we have the presence of the Holy Spirit who will never leave. Can you imagine what an advantage it is to know those things are true when you face your next trial? To know those things are true. To be able to walk with God through the dark is to be able to walk with God through anything. Because I know Him, because I trust Him, because I have, you can even say it this way at times, because I've tested Him in the past and He's been faithful. I've trusted Him with little trials. I can trust Him with bigger ones now. I can trust Him with past trials. I can trust Him with my present burdens. That's how we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God in the future. But that's also how we can rejoice in the present trial as well. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. The love of God is poured out upon us. We can know these things. And we have these things in our toolbox, in our possession. Let me give you some practical advice for when trouble comes. First, when trouble comes, it isn't fun. I know I haven't emphasized this, but I'm not negating the burden, the difficulty, the weight that is upon people when they go through trials. It can be excruciatingly painful. It can be a genuine trial and a test of your faith. It can be a burden that you don't think you can handle. You can feel overwhelmed by it. When the burdens come, when the trials come, it is overwhelming. At least it seems that way. So I'm not discounting trials. And, oh, it's just a small trial. Don't think of it. Oh, you're crying too much. Just forget about that. No, you're supposed to fully experience the trial. And it can be difficult. There will be heartache. There will be pain. There will be grief. But remember that God has a purpose in your troubles. But I don't see it. It's still there. I know you don't see it right now, but it's there. You've seen it in the past, haven't you? Yes. You've seen it in the Word of God. Yes. Have you seen it in other people? Yes. It's there. Wait for it. Patiently endure. Build character while you wait for it and produce hope. Hope even in the midst of your present trial. But thirdly, also remember who you are in Christ. Trouble should not alienate you from Christ. Should drive you toward Him and mature you in Him. In your trouble, dear Christian friend, in your troubles, in your suffering, God is not rejecting you. God is not deserting you. The devil put that thought in your mind. It isn't true. Remember who you are in Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Or distress? No. Or persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Danger? No. Sword? No. And on we could go. And remember what God has promised you in time of trouble. Like a leaf clinging to the tree, you've got to cling to something. And what I encourage you to cling to is what you know is true because God has said it. Because God has promised it. Well, what has He said? Let me give you some verses that you can cling to in your darkness. This is from Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good. A refuge in time of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him. That may be the only verse you can lay hold upon, but lay hold upon it. Nahum 1:7. Another one. Psalm 138:7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, because I know that, therefore, I will not fear. I will not fear. The darkness is still here, but I will not fear. The trouble is still upon me, but I will not fear. You know who's saying that? You know who is speaking that? Faith is saying that. Faith in the midst of trouble. Faith that can be seen by you. Faith that can be seen by the world around you. The love of God is poured into your hearts. Remember that. Remember what God has promised you after the time of trial. After the suffering is over. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory. With the glory that is to be revealed to us. Remember when Paul was taken up to the third heavens and saw things that were not lawful for him to utter. I ardently desire just 1 minute in glory. Just 1 minute. So I could be there for 1 minute and then look back upon these trials. Oh, what a different perspective I would have then, right? To look back upon this present suffering and compare it to eternal glory. It doesn't compare. That's what Paul says. And he was there. So, Paul says in another place, 2 Corinthians 4, so we do not lose heart. In the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of not having the full final answer, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. The hymns often capture the experience of the people of God. Let me just give you a little slice of one of the hymns that really captures what Paul was getting at in this message today. How firm a foundation has these words. When through fiery trials your pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be your supply. The flame shall not hurt you. I only design your dross to consume and your gold to refine. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God Almighty, when we look to ourselves and compare our strength to the strength of the trial, the burden, the suffering, the grief, whatever it is. We seem inadequate because we are. But when we look to you, when we look to your strength, and know that you are with us, and to know that you are for us, to know that you are elder, brother, and friend, to know that you are sovereign, to know that you are God, to know that you are good, to know that you have given us promises, that you've given us your word has never once failed. When we look to your strength and compare it to the strength of the trial, it doesn't even compare. So Lord, help us to trust you in the dark, in the trial, in the trouble, in the grief, in the suffering, in the tribulation, in the persecution, because of what we know. We know you. We've seen you in the light. We've trusted you there. We know your character. We know your word. We know your promises. And we know that your promises will never fail. Therefore, we have hope, even when we don't see the end. Therefore, Lord, we have hope in the trial and trouble and difficulty, because we know the living God. We know that you are with us. We know that you are for us. We know that you are pouring your love into our hearts, even at that moment. So help us, Lord, to stand up under it, to endure, to have your Spirit within us build that character so that we might stand upon that well-grounded hope. Encourage us, Lord, as we walk through whatever you throw at us, because we know that you are good. Help us, Lord, to have faith in you at all times, the joys and the sorrows, the pleasures and the pain, because you are sovereign and because you are good. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.